QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 18th, 2017. We wish all our listeners a happy and prosperous 2017. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. This month, we have for you Western Pennsylvania Group to participate in Winter Field Day, 2-meter simplex net standard protocol in Vermont, Oregon Aries Races new online training programs, digital mobile radio, or DMR, is growing in Ohio, Spotlight, Virginia Section Aries cooperation/coordination key to success, Letters, Noise in the EOC, and Clark County, Washington Aries Protocol's I-WARN program, and finally K1CE for a final. But before we start with the stories, here are some Aries briefs. Just ahead, Winter Field Day. Field Day is not just for summertime anymore. Winter Field Day, sponsored by the Winter Field Day Association, or WFDA, will take place over the January 28th, 29th weekend, and it can be a good time to prepare for ARRL Field Day in June. The annual event's stated purpose is to encourage emergency operating preparedness in the winter, but it is also an excuse to get out of the house and enjoy the great outdoors. According to the WFDA, getting ready for emergency communication in winter environments is just as important as the preparations and practice that take place each June. Maintaining operating skills should not be limited to fair weather scenarios. The event, which got its start in 2007, is not restricted to North America. All amateur radio operators around the world are invited to participate, and there are three entry categories: indoor, outdoor, and home. The rules are similar to those for ARRL Field Day. Here's an idea from Rick Palm, K1CE. New Year's resolution for Aries members: take the ARRL Emergency Communications Training Courses. The ARRL Introduction to Emergency Communication course is designed to provide basic knowledge and tools for any emergency communications volunteer. The course has 6 sections with 29 lesson topics. It includes required student activities, which are mentor-assisted and evaluated, a 35-question final assessment, and takes approximately 45 hours to complete over a 9-week period. Students have access to the course platform at any time of day during this period. The ARRL Public Service and Emergency Communications Management course trains Aries and other operators who will be in leadership and managerial roles, organizing other volunteers to support public service activities and communications emergencies. Topics include preparing and organizing to support local community events, working with governmental and other emergency response organizations, and deploying services to provide communications when needed in an emergency or disaster response. Mr. Palm says, "I made 2 New Year's resolutions for myself for 2017. First, to become more active in my home Aries program in Volusia County, Florida. And second, to take both of these online ARRL training courses and report on my experiences. You may find more information for both courses, including registration, by clicking on arrl.org/online-course-catalog. Again, that's arrl.org/online-course-catalog. Now, our news stories. Western Pennsylvania group to participate in Winter Field Day. The Cumberland Valley Amateur Radio Club, or CVARC, of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, will be participating in Winter Field Day on January 28th and 29th. Radio amateurs have been setting up their stations in the great outdoors every June for ARRL Field Day for decades. Winter Field Day is a new twist on an old idea. Emergencies and disaster responses are not limited to the other seasons. CVARC President Ray Smith, N3TWU, reports that following last year's successful Winter Field Day, the members are ready to make this year's event the best one yet. The public is invited, along with visiting operators ready for possible cold and winter conditions. For more information, you may visit the CVARC webpage at w3ach.org. That's an easy URL to remember. Again, it's w3ach.org. We'll pause now for a few seconds for a station break. This will allow repeaters time to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 18th, 2017. Welcome back. Our next story is 2-meter simplex net, standard protocol in Vermont. This item comes from the Vermont Section News. Vermont Section Manager Paul Gayette, AA1SU, has announced a 2-meter Vermont simplex frequency to be used as a central gathering point for potential emergency or disaster response situations. It is 146.490 megahertz. The Central Vermont Amateur Radio Club has been using this frequency to meet on after their Sunday evening net on the local repeater. They've had great success with it. The value of having a standard simplex frequency is to have a place to go in the event that local repeaters are off the air during an emergency or disaster response. Vermont radio amateurs are being asked to program this frequency into all of their 2-meter radios and to use it and test it regularly with operators within range. Operators are also asked to program the frequency into their radio's priority watch function if available. Oregon Aries Races new online training programs. Oregon Aries Races has launched new online training programs for amateur radio operators. According to John Kaur, KX7YT, the ARRL Oregon Section Manager, this training has been very well received. Training is conducted in three parts, and this is in addition to the required completion of the ICS 100, 200, and 700 courses and a required background check. The elements are, number one, completion of an online amateur radio operator, or ARO, knowledge-based course done in Microsoft Sway. Sway is a highly visual environment with many internet-linked videos and photos of Oregon Aries members in action in order to make the course interesting. It includes six modules, two multiple-choice exams, and a final exam. The course also includes materials on the use of the WinLink system, critical frequency plans, Aries fundamentals, Oregon emergency management, participation in nets, antenna systems, and many other topics. Currently, 200 participants are taking the training, and there are 54 ARO Element 1 graduates. It takes new Aries volunteers about 20 hours of study to complete Element 1. Experienced volunteers can complete it in one day. This is an innovative approach to training, as it is self-paced and can be done from home. Significantly, changes to the training materials can be done online and on the fly by the training administrator at no cost. Changes are instantly available to all trainees the next time they log into the system. Administrators use PollDaddy web-based software for construction of the exams and can easily track student progress as well as scores. Number two is an 8-week proctored class in the Oregon Aries Digital Network, or OADN, forms, and is conducted online using email and WinLink Express. This course teaches operators how to properly fill out and use various ICS forms, as well as Oregon-specific forms, for disaster declarations, situation reports, requests for assistance, and unit activation and deactivation reports that are set statewide. Close to 100 people have now completed this course, which is offered twice yearly and is very popular. The Oregon Aries Digital Network is a statewide amateur radio system designed for emergency and disaster response communications. Number 3. Completion of a task list that is signed by the county EC, certifying that the participant has programmed their radios to local communications frequency plans, is personally prepared for deployment, has various on-the-air skills, and has participated as an operator in an Oregon simulated emergency test. Topics included in the courses are discussed on Aries Nets and at meetings on an ongoing basis. The entire three-part training program was launched in late July 2016 and now involves volunteers in 20 counties and 200 trainers. This month, Oregon Leadership is presenting basic amateur radio operator certificates to the first 10 members that have completed all of the required training. Participants register online at the OregonAriesRaces.org website before they start their training. And please note in that URL, Oregon Aries Races is one word. That web address again is OregonAriesRaces.org. And Oregon Aries Races is all one word with no spaces. Digital Mobile Radio, or DMR, is growing in Ohio. Digital Mobile Radio, or DMR, technology and activity in Ohio has witnessed an upsurge recently. Fueling the activity is a wide selection of handheld and mobile radios available on the market today. Prices of DMR radios are within range of the budgets of most radio amateurs. As with any new technology and new radios, Ohio amateurs are asking many questions to help them climb the learning curve. DMR 101 classes are popping up across the state, thanks to eager, experienced operators conducting these classes, hoping for even more activity and development. Now here are some tips. In Ohio, operators are purchasing radios such as the Titerra MD380 or 390 handheld product. They are the same radio, except that the 390 has GPS capability. The radios will work right out of the box, but for best performance, it is advised to update the radio with the latest programming and firmware available. Operators must also register and obtain a Motorola Amateur Radio Club Mark ID before accessing and using a DMR repeater. After acquiring the ID, new operators will need to program their new radios. A code plug is a solution. There are many code plugs out there for Ohio. A code plug contains all of the DMR Ohio users and repeaters, and was written by Andy Crowell, K4AWC. The operator's DMR ID must be added to this code plug. So, what if there is no local DMR repeater available? Well, you're not left out. There is a solution called an open spot from Shark RF. It's a way to access DMR System Fusion and D-Star networks without having to purchase a repeater. DMR is just another tool for the Aries Races toolbox. Thanks to the Ohio Section News and the Ohio Section Manager, Scott Yonnelly, N8SY, for this information. Please let us know if your repeater is airing, or if you are listening on your smartphone, to the audio version of the ARRL e-letter by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the method by which you listen to the ARRL Aries e-letter. Also, let us know if you're listening on a repeater or on social media. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. We would like to acknowledge Ray Selenki, and I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly, AC1BC in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Ray told us that he listens to the audio version of the Aries e-letter by way of Beyond Pod on his Android smartphone. Thank you, Ray, and we hope you'll continue to listen. Well, it's time once again to pause for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 18th, 2017. We'll continue now with Spotlight Virginia Section Aries, Cooperation Coordination Key to Success. Virginia Section Aries and other groups have seen advances and successes this past year. Learning from and building on the past, a goal for 2017, is to elevate cooperation and coordination among Aries groups, other amateur public service communications groups, and relevant local and state agencies. All entities have rules and requirements for training and other components of a successful program, and it is imperative that all members play by those rules. Knowing and understanding the National Incident Management System, or NIMS, and the sections and functions of the Incident Command System is essential to any successful program. All groups and individuals need to take this training if interoperability across the various disciplines and jurisdictions can be realized during any incident, large or small. Groups should be cross-trained in, or at least familiar with, the Department of Homeland Security's AUXCOM protocols for working under the umbrella of numerous entities when the need arises. As another example of the importance of cooperation and coordination, technology is an integral part of communications advances, which are usually adopted by some groups. Only through cooperation by all stakeholders can these advances be learned and subsequently used to their fullest extent by everyone, everywhere. Funding for these new technologies is also an important need that can be addressed through cooperation and coordination with the agencies that can fund them. The Virginia Section News reported Skywarn plays a critical role in all types of severe weather emergencies and disaster responses. It's important to note that the National Weather Service's technical abilities to forecast weather, that is, through use of radar, satellites, and so forth, has improved our warning and reporting, but no technology can beat a report from a live observer on the ground. Thus, Skywarn-trained amateur radio operators and observers are extremely valuable to NWS forecast offices and Aries emergency coordinators. Last month's National Skywarn Recognition Day was a great success, with Virginia NOAA NWS offices participating. Steve Crow, KG4PEQ, was named Skywarn Coordinator for the NOAA NWS Wakefield, Virginia office in 2008 and developed the Wakefield program covering numerous counties in central and southeast Virginia and North Carolina. Mr. Crow is retiring and is credited with developing one of the most comprehensive and successful programs in the country. Mr. Crow is also credited with partnering the Skywarn program with Aries programs around the state. Now we have letters, and our first letter is titled Noise in the EOC and comes from Jim Bassett, W1RO, the ARRL Nevada Section Traffic Manager. Jim writes, I'm in Clark County, Nevada, in the Las Vegas Valley, and a member of Aries and Air Force Mars. The issue of noise in the EOC came to light for us in 2014 when four Mars operators, including myself, were invited to Nye County, Nevada, to participate in a statewide multi-agency earthquake disaster drill. The first problem was the RF noise created by all of the public safety radio systems antennas mounted on the roof of the EOC within a few feet of the two HF antennas. It made it impossible to hear any incoming HF signal less than 20 dB over S9. That rendered impossible communications from Pahrump to the Carson City area. The solution was to use the VHF Winlink packet peer-to-peer and VHF voice from the EOC to the training center 2 miles away. The center operators would then take the traffic and relay it on HF to Carson City. Traffic followed the reverse path, of course, back to the EOC. Expediting written traffic handling was accomplished using thumb drives. We provided ICS 213 and radiogram templates on a thumb drive to the ICS scribe, who filled in the blanks and brought the thumb drive from the EOC command room to the EOC radio room. We simply copied and pasted messages from the thumb drive to Winlink for packet transmission to the training center site. It was received via VHF, then copied and pasted to their thumb drive. The VHF operator handed the thumb drive to the HF operator, where it was copied and pasted into Winlink for PACTOR HF relay on a MARS or state-authorized frequency. When the PACTOR link failed, they switched to HF Winmore. Having had the above experience in 2014 has proved valuable, as we have since deployed for numerous exercises and actual events where we have had the same RF noise problem at all of the half dozen EOCs in our area. For in-house ambient noise, we have opted for headsets on each radio. Our Multiple Agency Coordination Center is currently located in a high electrical noise environment and is treated the same. We do have, however, an incident command post vehicle that is parked outside the center in the parking lot that can be used for packet, voice, and sound card digital modes. On another point, advance of incident coordination with agencies is critically important. We have about a dozen organizations that now work together and know what Ares, RACES, and MARS can do. MARS and Ares work hand in hand in our state. Also, we have about a dozen operators with deployable go boxes that include VHF, UHF, and HF capability for voice, packet, and sound card modes. We are currently training on Winlink modes to allow a faster and easier interface with the national traffic system. Thank you, Jim, for your letter and that information. We'll pause once again now for a station break. Please stay tuned. Hi, we're back with more of the ARRL Ares Audio e-letter for January 18th, 2017. Our next letter is titled Clark County, Washington Ares Protocols, IWARN Program, and comes to us from John Gaynor, NO7DE in Vancouver, Washington. John wrote, "Our Clark County, Vancouver, Washington Ares operators are deployed on command by the county's Emergency Management Agency, or EMA, to various locations in support of first responders and entities such as hospitals and the Red Cross. We have about 1,700 hams in Clark County and approximately 100 members in Ares. In a disaster, our IWARN Visual Situation Reporting Program, sponsored in the county by the Clark County Amateur Radio Club, operators collect damage and injury information from any ham radio operator in the county. We have multiple modes, both digital and voice, that are used for reporting. IWARN program members self-activate at the start of a disaster with reports going to the EMA office. The primary mission and objective is for the IWARN operator to report what we see and where we are. There is no deployment per se. IWARN and Ares work cooperatively, communicating damage and injury assessments from IWARN to the regional EMA. Ares has a team and radio room instantiated in the EOC. Thank you, John, for this interesting information about IWARN in Vancouver, Washington. And finally, we have K1CE for a final. Rick Palm says, "I plan to attend the ARRL Southeastern Division Convention in Orlando, Florida at Hamcation 2017 on Saturday, February 11th. I would enjoy meeting all of you who listen to the ARRL Ares Audio e-letter. Hope to see you there." And 73 from Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. And that concludes the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for January 18, 2017. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org. If you have any questions about amateur radio in general, or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2017 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. 73.